By Judicial Decree 5, Contract Law. Written by Commander James Bondage. Narrated by Elliot Daniels. Forward. It is only through an accident of history that the ancient custom of judicial enslavement by reason of debt is no longer practiced. But what if history had taken a different course? Modern physical theory teaches that there are an infinite number of universes. If this is correct, then there must be an infinitude of universes where history did take a different road, and enslavement for debt or as a criminal penalty is still the law of the land. This story takes place in one of those histories. Chapter 1. The Game. Diana's eyes flicked down at her cards, then up across the table, as she tried to read the face of her opponent. Her own face was lovely, but as unreadable as a plaster mask. At least, she thought it was. Diana considered herself an excellent poker player who never allowed her expression to give her opponents the slightest hint of what she was holding, or whether she was bluffing. But somehow tonight, against this man in this most important game of her life, something about her expression or body language seemed to be broadcasting the contents of her hand to him. He seemed to sense danger whenever she held good cards, dropping out immediately. The few times she ventured to bluff, however, he called her bets without hesitation. Diana, on the other hand, could glean nothing from her opponent's smiling visage or his casual, relaxed small talk. If not for some unusually good luck, Diana would probably have been cleaned out already. But that was all history. The moment had come for her to turn the game around. He had just made his first mistake, bidding 5,000 crowns after the draw. Diana had taken 3 cards, which he would almost certainly know meant that she was drawing to a pair. He had no way of knowing that she had made the most unlikely of draws, matching her pair of nines with a 3rd 9 and 2 jacks, making a full house. He had drawn 1 card, probably trying to fill a flush, and, based on his bet, had succeeded. Now all she had to do was lure him into calling a really big bet, and the game would be all but over. She assessed him again, trying to gauge how much she could wager without scaring him off. He raised his bushy eyebrows in a question.
"If you have something good, Diana, this could get very interesting," he said.
"Maybe I do," she answered judiciously. She had the feeling he was ready to call anything she bet. He had misread her hand, and she would make him pay dearly for his mistake. Diana counted out a stack of 5 gold chips, then let them drop to the center of the green baize tabletop, 1 clink at a time. "I see your 5,000, she said, then paused. Then she placed both hands face down on the table with the thumbs extended and touching to make a little plow which he used to push the remainder of her chips into the pot. Striving to keep her voice level, she finished, "And I raised the rest of my pile." He counted out her bet, flicking through the stacks of gold, silver, and copper chips with his forefinger.
"Let's see, that's 15, 20, 25, 27,000, and, let's call it 500,
he asked, looking at Diana for confirmation. She nodded. He sat back in his chair, his lips pursed in thought, studying her.
"So you do have something," he said. "If not, that's sure one hell of a bluff."
He sat up, then shrugged.
"Well, you've aroused my curiosity now, so I'm going to have to call," he said.
He counted out the chips from his stacks and dropped them to clatter atop the others already in the huge pot.
"Let's see 'em, Diana."
Her heart pounded wildly in her chest in anticipation, and she could not prevent the corners of her lips from curling up in a huge smile. She tossed her cards out face up on the table, studying his expression as she did so. She longed to see that confident grin wiped off his face when he realized he had lost the biggest hand of the night. The dealer, a professional they had hired for the game, announced her hand in a flat, emotionless voice.
"Full house. 9s over jacks.
Diana's eyes widened in dismay when the grin did not disappear as she had expected. In fact, it grew, and Instead, her own smile vanished, along with all the blood from her face. Something was wrong. Had she made a mistake? He tossed his cards out on top of the great pile of glittering poker chips in the middle of the table one by one, his eyes locked on her face. A three. An eight. Another three. Another three, and... Another three? He hadn't been drawing to a four flush at all. He'd been drawing to four of a kind. Four threes, said the dealer in the same neutral tones as if he was announcing the date. The hand goes to Mr. Kane. Mrs. Richardson is tapped out, and the game is over.
I guess that's it, then, Kane said, pushing his chair back and rising to his feet.
He nodded his head in the direction of the side table where the stakes were piled.
According to that contract over there, the moment I won this hand, you became my slave for the next 12 months, Diana. My first command is to strip. I am curious to see if what you have under those tight clothes of yours lives up to what I imagined.